The primary question that we've been dealing with is, what does God expect of a Christian after his or her conversion? Well, to answer the question, we've discussed a Christian's responsibility towards personal spiritual growth, which leads to spiritual maturity. We've also discussed how part of that growth is to produce fruit in our lives. So at this point, we might ask, well, what happens if we sin after being baptized? Well, in response to that question, we must again turn to the Bible and identify the will of God concerning that subject. Let's start by reading Proverbs 6, verses 16 through 19, and consider how much our sin hurts God. These six things the Lord hates, yes, seven are an abomination to Him: a proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that are swift in running to evil, a false witness who speaks lies, and one who sows discord among brethren. Now, secondly, we should consider the price that God paid to redeem us from our sins. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 17 through 19 says that He redeemed us with the precious blood of Christ. So just from these two passages alone, we can quickly conclude that sin is a serious problem, even for a born-again Christian. Yet there's hope. You see, our God knows that we will occasionally stumble because we're human. He knows this because He created us, and He knows Satan will continue to attack us. So consider what 1 John 1, 8 through 9 says. It says, "If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." Now, going back to our main question, what does God expect of us? Well, the answer is, He expects us to remain faithful until death, just like it says in Revelation chapter 2, verse 10. He expects us to avoid all forms of evil, 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 22. So the implication is that even as Christians, we may still sin. But if we do sin, we need to repent. So how can we strengthen ourselves to withstand the attacks of the devil? How can we avoid falling into temptation and even into sin? Well, fortunately, and once again, God has given us the answer in the Bible. There's three things that immediately come to mind. Number one, we need to strengthen our faith. And that's found in passages like 2 Peter 1, verses 5 through 11. Secondly, we need to fortify our defenses against the devil, just as Paul mentions in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 11. And then thirdly, we need to lean on God for help, just as the psalmist did in Psalm 56, verse 11. So with that in mind, let's take a deeper look at what the Apostle Peter says about strengthening our faith in 2 Peter 1, verses 5 through 7. He says there, "Add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love." Now, to better understand what Peter is saying, you might think about these things in the same manner of how one might bake a cake, let's say. First, a recipe would be needed. And if all the correct ingredients are then mixed together and baked, well, the end result is something appetizing. Or perhaps you could think of it as a bricklayer. If one brick is added upon another, then something useful and solid like a wall or a foundation has been built. Well, our faith functions in a very similar manner. We have a recipe, if you will, in the Bible with all the basic components needed for spiritual maturity. And these components help us to strengthen our faith in God. And if we add these things to our faith, well, it helps us build up a stronger foundation, which enables us to defend ourselves against temptations. And we will learn to lean on God more for help. All right, so what are those attributes that Peter mentions there? Well, let's take a closer look at each one. And the first one is virtue. This is a word that is sometimes translated as moral excellence. And in this passage, It's used to imply courage, which suggests that we must be ready to confess our faith and not hide it, nor be ashamed of it. And that's what we find in Matthew chapter 5, verse 16, and Matthew 10, verse 32, and even in Romans 1, 16 through 17. You see, when faced with obstacles, as we strive to walk in the light, we need this attribute in order to fortify our faith. So we must exercise courage. Now, the second one that is listed is knowledge. Now, what kind of knowledge are we talking about here? Well, this is spiritual knowledge. It's the kind of knowledge that only comes through studying God's Word, which is truly the only way to know the will of God. And Jesus affirmed that in John 8, verse 31 through 32. He says, "If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Now think about that. Is it possible to obtain a true understanding of, let's say, mathematics or science or foreign languages without regular study? Well, absolutely not. And the same principle applies to the Bible. We must study it if we want to grow spiritually. You know, knowledge is so, so very important. So the bottom line is, God wants you to know His Word. So think about these things, and then tomorrow, we'll continue with the rest of the elements that Peter says we need to add to our faith.